Tipster's nightmare again this week, Steve. What did you think?
Yeah, it was, mate, but some exciting things. We saw the Cows win in Sydney, which was a big deal. The Knights showed some huge spark in attack, which was really impressive. But most exciting of all, the Dragons got their first win of the season. So we talk about it all.
Oh, they're back. Some impressive performances. The Seagulls are the real deal. Pretty good performance from young Joey Walsh. But the biggest problem is the refereeing, the six agains, and the state of the game. I'm Ian Hawkins, and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport, as I see it, is to see your vision become a reality. Find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body. How are you, Steve?
Yeah, good, thanks, Hawk. Plenty of rugby league happened over the weekend. I managed to get to a game, and we also saw the first game of Origin for the year. So plenty to get through today, mate. I'm excited. How about you? How are you going?
Good, mate. Yes, unfortunately, I got to a game too, but yeah, another tough watch, but we'll get to that in a bit. We were just talking before we hit record. There's more and more noise about just how ordinary this football is to watch. And interestingly, from Cam Murray, not even enjoyable to play. He was talking about the momentum and just how important it is to get it. He said, because when you've got momentum, it feels easy. And he said, but when you've lost it, it's so hard to wrestle it back. And then he's pressed on whether games like that are more enjoyable to play in. And he bluntly replied, no. Which is pretty damning that the players aren't enjoying it. And like we talked about before we hit record, it's just not enjoyable. Neither of us know anyone who's enjoying how it's being played. Again, we don't know the ratings. I'll see if I can find that out from some of my old Fox mates before next week, whether they're dipping and whether their people are tuning out towards the back end. But I'm watching less. I'm not getting to the end of games. I'm not rushing to be there for the start. So I'm just watching things on delay. What is happening?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And it just seems to me that the referees have got more control than ever over the contest. They're having says over the complete results, and then even having a huge impact on teams coming back into the contest. You know, you take that Newcastle game v South that we'll get to down the track, but, you know, time's gone by, half time, that would have been over and done with, locked and loaded. South just kept coming back. You know, similar story with the Broncos. They scored 24 mm-hmm. points in 15 minutes. You know, when it was all but said and done, then all of a sudden the Broncos just get all this possession and keep laying on the points. So, look, you know, we called it at the very beginning. We thought this opened up the possibilities of them having a dip at the NRL for controlling games and having input. And it's only going to continue to get louder for mine. You can see it. There is no doubt they go into certain games with biased about certain teams and how they're going to play the game and how the result should pan out. You know, we've been calling for quite a few weeks now that we think the Bulldogs get the rub of the green from the referees. And it was blatant again last weekend against the Cowboys. The Cowboys were good enough to get the win, but there are certain teams out there that are just getting the favours point blank. And if the referees don't do something or the NRL doesn't do something, it's going to start to get farcical and leave sport and head to entertainment very, very quickly, I think.
Yep, well, that's what they're trying to push towards, which is where wrestling went wrong. Calling themselves WWE, and we all know where that ended up. So it's not good signs. And we may as well get to that first game, the Dogs and the Cowboys. That's even more damning for the Dogs, that despite how much possession they had, how much ball they had in the attacking 20, and they just didn't look like scoring.
No, so hats off to the Cowboys. Look, traditionally, outside of their good couple of glory years there, they've really struggled down in Sydney, really struggled outside of North Queensland for that matter. But for them to do what they did was really, really good football. You know, one of the Bulldogs' try was that solo from Galvin, which was good, but again, that come from repeat sets. So hats off to the Cowboys. They seem to, you know, we had a little bit of a slow start to the season for them. Got off to that Drinkwater injury in Vegas, but they just keep getting better and better. They look really impressive. You know, I think the first half, it was something like 44% of the ball was with the Cowboys, and they were still up 12-6. So showed a bit of grit and defence as well. So they look really good. You know, they're going to have a few losses to State of Origin, which is going to hurt them a little bit, like always. And obviously, Jeremiah Nenai. Early reports aren't isn't as severe as first thought, but that's obviously going to be a bit of a kick to them as well. But look, hats off to them. And then the Bulldogs, you know, 12 points at home against the Cowboys just simply isn't good enough, you know, to only rack up 12 points is not where they need to be. And right now, they don't look like they've got too many answers up their sleeve either, truth be told.
They do not. I also just look at that back five for the Cows, suddenly looking super impressive. Tom Chester he scored that great try back against the grain. Purdue just looks better every week. Braden Burns had some really good touches. They are starting to build nicely. Isn't it funny that, we talked about the coach is under pressure. He's still not signed for next year, but he's building an impressive record and plenty of evidence to suggest they should keep him. I also heard someone talking today saying, if they don't lock him up, does a team like the Dragons come and have a look at him, Todd Payton?
Yeah, I think Payton certainly proved once again, because I think he's done it in previous seasons, that he's an NRL coach. There are whispers up here that they're not completely happy with Payton, regardless of how this season unfolds, that they are certainly looking around and doing their due diligence for the re-signing for next year. But I think to your point, mate, whether it's St George or he stays at the Cowboys or any one of the other clubs that are going to be up for offer, I think he's proved once again that he is an NRL coach, mate, no doubt.
Absolutely. Just look at some of the stats. Braden Burns, 225 metres, beast. And Tom Ololo suddenly looks like, well, I think we mentioned this last week, he looks like the 2018 version.
Fire. Very impressive for him. I think he equaled JT's record as far as most Cowboys games. So 300's right around the corner for someone who certainly hasn't shirked it. He's played in the middle and for first half of his career played monster minutes in the middle as well. So, good on him. Well done. Most post-contact metres out of the entire Cowboys side. So pretty special. For mine, the big story is the Cowboys winning away from home, and then the Bulldogs' attack is just pop gun at best. One line break in the entire 80 minutes is just not where it needs to be. So changes need to be made. Now, we've been calling for a shake-up of their spine, but whether it's their spine, whether it's their coaching, as far as, you know, they've employed a new tacking coach from Newcastle, whatever it needs to be, they need something new, because what they're throwing out in the moment, like we predicted, isn't doing the job.
Absolutely not. And we talked last week about the noise getting louder, the Doggies fans, and that is certainly what is unfolding. So it'll be really interesting to see how that unfolds. Even, like, it was laughed off, but a guy called up to one of the shows on the weekend questioning Serraldo's coaching. Are we seeing the same as what we saw with Gordon at the Panthers, where he's just there's a confusion because the coach is not able to run the whole show? That will be really interesting to see how this unfolds. Something has got to give, that is for sure.
Yeah, spot on, mate. No question. It'll be very interesting to see what they do in the player market over the next 6 months leading into next year, because this 17 isn't going to do it. So it'll be interesting to see, and then how much input Serraldo has over the day-to-day. Time will tell over the next couple of months, mate.
Now, did we get a ruling on Tom Lolo, whether he would be eligible for Queensland or not? Because that's a scary proposition.
Yeah, he'd be handy for a short stuff off the line. I don't believe he is, but I'll look into that for next week for us, mate.
Yep. We are starting to get to that point where Origin teams will start to be talked about in more depth, and it will be really interesting to see which direction the coaches go, given it's a whole new way the game's being played, and there are players that are coming back into the game. There are other players that have sort of fallen away that have been good recently, and it's just not suiting them. The other sort of interesting pattern that I just was playing with in my head over the weekend is some of those Bellamy proteges like Riles. I had a list of names, but that same defensive structure are the teams that are struggling a bit, and and teams that like to slow the play the ball down, like the Raiders, and they're kind of battling away a bit, and you just wonder. I don't know. I was having a bit of a rant the weekend. It's like teams prepare based on how they think the game is going to be played, and then that gets thrown open.
Yep.
They'd be filthy, wouldn't they? I mean, it might have cost Flano his job, because if it had been played like it was last year, I reckon he's probably still there, and they might even be ticking along okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't agree more, mate. This got changed right at the last minute, and so how something like that could get left to the last minute when we're dealing with such a big sport, a lot of money, a lot of viewers, to your point, a lot of careers on the line. For it to get changed at the last minute is not good. And we called it for the Storm, and we'll get to that game shortly. But I couldn't agree more with you. The teams that were traditionally very good at controlling the ruck gave their defensive line time to set, which is traditional rugby league, right? You control the speed of the ruck and you win the game. They're the teams that are struggling, no question about it. They're the teams that need to find a new way to play the game halfway through the season. So, yeah, and to your point, mate, Origin will be... Origin could turn into a farce. They could ruin the golden goose. If they play the game like this, you know, Origin had almost gone to using only really one big front rower, and then you were packing your side with smaller middles. The way it's going at the moment, I don't even know whether you can have one big middle. You can imagine the way the speed's going to be with these players. If they continue the way it is, yeah, Origin could turn into a fast, and that would be the saddest thing of all.
Oh, 100%. In saying that, the big fella for the Warriors, giant human, he just busts through the line from the kickoff three times, and so there is still a space for the big man, but you've got to be mobile and you've got to have an engine. Willison at the Bronx is another one that comes to mind. It's not a size thing, it's definitely an engine, although again, the Tigers, what's his name? That came from the Sharks. I'm just mentally. I'm having a mental brain fart at the moment.
There's no question. There's a few of those middle forwards, the Payne Hasses, the Tyler Mays of the world, a few you mentioned, even Twile this year, the Couchman boys. There's a few of them now that are still big men, but they're really good laterally. They've got a big motor on them, they're quick. So there's no question that that's the front rower we need, and we'll go through with the future. But Origin, you know, they even those sort of players were starting to get a little bit scarce. So it'll be very interesting to see how they go. You know, does a player like Alex Twile, who's had a huge start to the season, does he get a bait on the way he's been performing? So, yeah, we'll wait and see how they referee, mate.
Yeah, Royce Hunt's the guy I was looking for. And the speed of the game... We've talked for years about how Origin is at other speed again. Well, how much quicker can it get? It makes you think Dylan Edwards has come back and had some strong showings recently, but if it's going to be played that fast, well, then surely Tedesco is just a no-brainer. Like, it just throws the whole thing up in the air, and last year's form was virtually irrelevant.
Yeah, yeah. You got to find out. First question is how they're going to referee the game. If it's going to be the same as NRL or not, you got to pick your team from there. Daly said today that he'll only be taking one of Edwards or Tedesco into the 19, which is smart. They can only both traditionally play fullback. So there'll be a tough decision there either way they go. But I think the way the game's going to be played is going to have a huge impact on who they select, mate, no question.
Absolutely. Dolphins Storm.
So this was the game I was at. Was at Suncorp. The rain absolutely teamed down the entire contest. So there was a bit to take out of this. I felt really... Going into the game, I actually changed my tip to the Storm. I thought with everything in the media about Bellamy with his illness, which is just really sad to hear and see, I thought the Storm had really roll up their sleeves and turn up. But I walked away from the game feeling a bit sad, truth be told, a little bit flat and a little bit down. Some of those Storm boys just absolutely tried their guts out. Harry Grant, he must have ran for 10 kilometres in the game. It was just a phenomenal effort. Everywhere they were, the ball was, he was there, and he just busted a gut. You know, Munster had a really strong first half. He went a little bit missing in the second half again, unfortunately. But in the end, they just weren't good enough. That's as simple as that. They just did not have the firepower to hang in there with the Dolphins, let alone win the game. And when you think what Sione Longo did with some of his speed that got the Storm ahead at one stage, without him, it would have been even worse. So I didn't like the look of it for the Storm, mate. Unfortunately.
No, I'm not sad for them in the slightest, I've got to be honest. I did think Stefano Utukamano has been actually a shining light. Their forward pack's been decimated a bit, but he seems to be almost the lone ranger there in the forward pack, and they're getting killed in metres. Like, I'm just looking at it now. The Dolphins are over 2,000. The Storm didn't even make 1,400 post-contact metres. They've got them covered by a fair way. Tackle breaks, they've got them covered. Line breaks. It's just all over the park. And I heard Munster get interviewed before that game talking about, like, he'd been to some dark places, even questioning whether he should be still playing. So it's obviously having a huge impact. Just on Bellamy, people have talked about for years... Oh, you know, he's going to have a heart attack or blow a gasket or whatever. You have to wonder where he's that highly strung and that highly stressed, whether that does have an impact. Because what's absolutely true is the impact that stress has on the body is massive. The exact details of that, they are still learning. But, yeah, like, sad. Hopefully he's getting the right treatment. But also, you just wonder what impact that would have.
Yeah, he certainly has thrown his whole life into the Storm, 25 years, and doesn't leave a stone unturned by everything we see and read. So, yeah, it's sad. Hopefully, you know, he gets through the season and whatever he decides to do, spends time with the family and is as good as he can be. But to your point, mate, they're a long way behind, especially when you consider, you know, that Wishart try early. They had quite a few sets in a row, and then Failongo was basically a one-man band when he scored that sensational try. So, and hats off to the Dolphins as well. We spoke about them last week. We thought they were a bit unlucky against the Warriors over there on the back of Penrith in Darwin. So they've had three really tough games. They've taken the top two teams to the wire and then to knock the Storm over on Suncorp. And they grinded out. You know, they were down 10-0 after about 25 minutes and didn't panic. They just kept working away. They had someone in the bin as well. I think Hammer went to the bin for holding down.
Which was harsh, harsh call, I thought.
Yeah, it was. It was so, and then they just put their class to action later in the game. So it was that was more of a traditional win. Forget about the referee and how we're seeing the game at the moment. They just fought hard and grinded early, and then just went bang at the end and just showed that little bit of class. So I like the look of the Dolphins with what they've got. They're going to lose a few to Origin. So that'll be interesting. Obviously, Hammer will go. And there could be a few of those back rowers that have been sensational as well. So that'll be interesting to see how they handle that. But, quite an impressive performance by the Dolphins. Really, it just shows a bit of maturity to do what they did, I thought.
Oh, absolutely. And there were some really impressive performances for the Dolphins. Jack Bostock, everyone knew what talent he was. He's back from injury and he's flying. Jermaine Asako, how about his goal kicking? He takes it back they made a bit of a fuss about this on the Fox coverage. But yeah, he's back over the 30-meter line and he's kicking it miles over. Izzy Katoa, it's probably the new speed of the game isn't suiting him as much, but he's adjusting to it now. I thought it was probably his best performance of the year, starting to really warm into it. And then there was one more that I wanted to talk about. Max Plath was enormous from dummy half.
Yeah.
But if I can find the team list.
I'll be really surprised if Plath doesn't make that Queensland side. Obviously, yeah. Ben Hunt's... he's as old as what we are these days, so they'll want someone there that can come and do a little bit of hooker and then also play in the middle if need be. This quicker game that we're talking about, I think Plath will be right for it. So I certainly think he's in with a red hot chance if he stays healthy, mate.
Absolutely. Kurt Donoghue is the name I was looking for. Also back from injury, mate. He looks he's got class written all over him. He was good last year, but. What a performance. He's dynamic. He eats up the meters. He ball plays. He's all energy. Mate, they've got a good one.
He's
there
a footballer,
for sure.
Isn't he? He just gets it done. He looked really good. I actually noticed him a few times live, which is a bit harder when you're especially in the rain trying to pick out who's who. But he really did stand out. You know, you talk about Origin. Finifiliaki has to be an absolute lock for the Queensland side. He has had a monster season, a breakout year. Certainly helped the old super coach points as well. But he's and just another performance. And, you know, here we are mentioning them beating the Storm like this, and we haven't mentioned Herbie, who once again just did his thing out there. It's starting to become Groundhog Day for Herbie. He's quite a season he's putting together.
It is, but for the life of me, I can't work out why they don't get him isolated more often, play to one side and then bring it back his side with a bit of space, because he seems to be doing a lot of donkey work, which he can do obviously, but... he's almost a focal point for attack, but yeah, he's enormous. Just keeps going to new levels. Yeah. Raiders, Titans, oh my God, like this tipping. Oh, I've been on the Raiders all year thinking they'll bounce back, and I get off them, and then they do that. Oh,
mate. Yeah, I did the same, mate. I took the Titans myself, which didn't go down real well, I can tell you that. You want to talk about a breakout season? Semi Sasangi had that huge start of the season in the centres. Had the week off.
They missed him badly.
Come back and start in the back row and just go bang, bang. It's a double inside the first 12 minutes of the game, which is, you know.
He was good when he had to step in when he played centres at the back end of last year. Was it Seb Chris that got injured or suspended?
Yeah.
And he's just gone to all new levels. He's been their best player consistently. Yeah, they missed him last week when he was out. Yeah, mate, he is just about the most improved footballer in the whole comp.
Yeah, agree, mate. And you talk about those running meters. The Raiders were 500. Yeah, carved them up 500 meters above the Titans. You know, the line more line breaks than them. So again, they just you know, we asked for this a couple of weeks ago, and it's taken the Raiders a little while to get going. Whether that's that grand final hangover, whether Stewart's just going to try to get them ready for September as opposed to redline them all year, or whether it's just they've started to get on a roll, I'm not sure, mate. But certainly that forward pack was pretty impressive. Obviously, missing a couple as well for them to do that, missing their two back rowers. Pretty impressive.
But in saying that, the Titans completed so badly, and so the Raiders did have a lot of ball, and not... They were only at 83%, 3% themselves. So I think that's is a reflection of possession as well. But yeah, it seemed to be heading in the right direction for sure.
Yeah, agreed, mate. Yeah, agreed. And the Titans were starting to head in that direction nicely with a bit of grinding games out, a bit more better ball control, etc. before the bye. So hopefully for Titans fans, that was just a bit of rust after the bye. They can get back going. Unfortunately for them, they got the Roosters this coming week. So the Roosters are on an absolute tear at the moment. So that's going to be a very tough one for them. But look, not all didn't get blown off the park by any means. But yeah, the Raiders just looked a little bit more dominant through the middle. And we know right now, if you dominate through the middle, then it's almost impossible to get beaten.
Yeah, a bit of class also comes to the fore. Their list, if you look at it, if you looked at it last year, you'd have them streaks ahead. So there's still plenty more experience and plenty more class in that team. So that, from that perspective, not surprising either. I wanted to ask you before we moved on, because you were at the Dolphins Storm game. What did you see when you were out there? How did that look? Did it look like the Storm were just getting rolled over? Was it more they were getting exposed in the ruck, out wide, bit of everything? Like, what did it look like?
Yeah, a bit of everything. I tell you what it looked like, and led by poor Harry Grant, it genuinely looked like that they were just 13 guys out there busting their ass trying so hard with no real plan, or no one in there working together, no one with the steering wheel in their hand. They were just, I could not knock the effort. But you could see a few times, I know Warbrick come late in the game, come in and took a hit up and dropped the ball early. You just see the shoulders drop. You see the heads go down. They are just a team. You know, we spoke about the Dragons a few weeks back. They are just a team at the moment, the Storm, with absolutely zero confidence. And just, they don't look like they think they've got a way out of this. They just think that they're in this forever. So it just looked like unless the Storm got a roll on with several sets in a row and penalty, etc., it just looked like the Dolphins had their measure for, you know, probably 65 minutes of the game.
Yeah, right. Okay, moving on. Warriors, Eels. We are now the most injured club in the league, 30 players. Now, I think we may have used one or two from outside the top 30, but then other than that, we've gone pretty close to using the whole top 30, which is frightening at only round 9. Same as what you said about the Storm. Like, they had a crack. Like, there's a whole lot of guys in there that aren't first graders, but they were in that game right up until that penalty when Volkman tackled Tanner Boyd on the kick. Now, everyone on the ground was confused because it's like, well, he wrapped his arms, he let him down gently. So I jumped on KO to see what they were saying on the commentary, and they were also suggesting that was a very harsh call, and that just changed the whole game. Like, we'd fought our way back to nearly parity, and we were competing, despite the fact that, again, we were just, like, continue to turn the ball over. So they're having a real crack. It gives me some hope when we get players back in about 3 weeks, but we've got a couple of tough games before then because we've got the Storm at Magic Round. At some point, the Storm are going to find form, and we've been playing teams back into form for 50 years, so that's probably when it'll happen.
Yeah, it will be tough. They've got to go up to Townsville this week and then into the Storm, as you say, for Magic Round. The Storm do have the Tigers. I know we'll talk about it later in the week, but the Storm do have the Tigers down in Melbourne this week, and right now the Tigers are decimated with injury and suspension. So that'll be interesting to see if the Storm can get off the canvas and then roll into para. But, mate, look, you've got to be happy with Volkman. He's two tries. As you said, the effort that he's shown coming back, he hasn't played a lot of footy over the last couple of years, so you'd have to be pretty impressed with what he was putting out there for you, mate.
Oh, absolutely. He is all energy, and Rolls talked about it in the presser. He said, he's worked on that contact, which he hasn't been known for coming through the grades. But, mate, he's defending well for a small man, and he's looking very good with the ball. I wouldn't be putting Pezzett back in based on what I've seen recently and what Pezzett showed early on. It's starting to look more and more like a mistake having him there for a year, given that, you know, all the talk was about developing players for the future. So that will be interesting in itself. One thing, again, I feel like this is a broken record. The other team, the Warriors, just look so much bigger than us. Like, we don't have big units. So now I know we've just talked about how it's a more mobile man's game. These Warriors players are big and mobile, and there are times there where it looked like they were toying with us. I don't know. It is interesting when you're out there, just what you see. I don't know whether that's just my eyes deceiving me, but that's what it's looked like for a fair few years now at Para.
Yeah. Look, the Warriors one for me is Metcalf, right? So we spoke about Tanner Boyd having the breakout season. The two games that Metcalf's played are the only two that they've lost, right? So they're 7-2 with seven games with Boyd only. So Metcalf's not going to be injured forever. Is he come back and fit into the side, or is there something more with the Warriors that you know, they need to keep an eye on about who's running the show when Metcalf comes back? Because they're putting together a side and a season that is going to have them there right at the end, and you want all the gunslingers cracking right there at the end of the season. So that'll be a big one for me. And look, yeah, Para, mate, they got to get troops back on the park and just try and get some consistency back on to their 17 and try and get a win here or there, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. They'll be hanging on for a few weeks. Now, Metcalf was named, and like I said, I only watched it out there. Did he actually get on? He certainly didn't start. No, okay, he didn't get on at all.
Yeah, to that point, mate, I don't think he's far. It'd just be interesting to see what happens. I mean, you can't deny the 7-2 result and some pretty impressive wins the way they've gone about it as well. So they've got the bye this week, so they'll have be able to rest up and then come out of the gates the week after, probably with Metcalf. So it'll be interesting to see how they go about it, mate.
I will. Now, I might be sounding like a whinging Para fan here, but, you know, there's a bit of a theory doing the rounds in the Para fan forums that we're getting stitched up by the refs because of the whole Lomax thing. And the first round, as bad as we were on the back end of a whole lot of 50-50s that went against us. And it feels like that was the case again. There was the kick penalty. There was a few other ones that looked a bit dubious, and I've said that to you before you record. Am I being one eyed, or are you seeing that? And you reckon that's probably the case too?
Yeah, as I said to you before we went on, mate, I genuinely think that there's always been that preconceived. It's human nature to have that preconceived idea when you run out there with the whistle on and who you think's going to win the game and how they go about the game. But there's no doubt in my mind that they've been told to influence the fatigue and to influence the entertainment of the game. And then that's only going to affect some teams more than others. There's no question about it. So, you know, we're 9 games in now, so there's more than likely more than enough stats out there to have a look at these sort of things. So potentially I can get some of that done for next week's show just to see where it's sitting. The NRL have been pretty fishy and coy on what sort of information they give out around these six agains. So I think, you know, they've obviously got a worry that the media is going to get a hold of it themselves. So it'll be interesting to see how much actual information we can get. But there's no doubt that there are some teams at the moment that are just not copying the rub of the green, mate.
Yeah, there was a moment in the Roosters-Broncos game, which we'll get to now, in the second half when the Broncos were on their comeback, and it kind of stalled on the back of a six again that the Roosters got, which just seemed like no different speed to any other play the ball in that whole sort of 15-minute block. And it was like that didn't seem slow at all. And you compare it to other – I know it depends on the tackle and dominance and all this sort of stuff, but for that set, they were rolling, and it just seemed no different. And again, it's just that feeling of they just manufacturing whatever they want to see. And it, we're going to get to these two games now in particular, the 38-24, where the Roosters led at 1.30 blot, and then the Broncos come back and they're right into it. I mean, we someone tell us, is anyone enjoying this? Like, it's just shit.
Yeah, it's not rugby league, mate. I'll say that to you. To your point, 32-0, and then all of a sudden in a 15-minute block, it's 32-24, and the Broncos are got a leg up. So that's not the game. You get a team after 42 minutes and you're 32-0 up. You kick to the corners, you chase hard, you defend, and you walk away with a win with not much of a sweat in the second half. But right now, 40 points, you still got to keep going to the final whistle, because any team could get a roll on and go back. And as you said, not to jump ahead, but we saw what happened in the second half with Cronulla. The Tigers basically didn't see the ball inside Cronulla's half the entire second half. They were making jokes about refunding the ticket holders that sat down the wrong end of the grandstand. So, for the Roosters, sensational performance again. They are just genuinely on a roll. They look really good. They keep on getting sharper in the halves. Tedesco's, doing his thing. You know, Tupu got his 190th try, which is a huge milestone for him. To think that we're going to have the record broken, and then Tupu to get to 200 all in the same seasons, pretty cool for him. He's been an absolute stalwart for the Roosters, so that was awesome to see. But yeah, the Roosters look a step above. The Broncos are still coming back with some injuries, right? They got Walsh back, they got Carrigan back, who both played solidly. But at the end of the day, they're still missing some fair talent out there. So they've won some games during that downtime, which will certainly help come back into the year. So I wouldn't be too concerned being a Broncos fan. I think they'd be happy with the 4-week block that they've just been through. But yeah, the Roosters are just going to keep on rolling for mine, mate, I think. And truth be told, I don't know whether they're going to lose too many for Origin. I think this is going to be one. They talk about Teddy. I'll be gobsmacked if they, regardless of what my opinion is, I'll be gobsmacked if they don't pick. They don't pick the Penrith bloke.
Edwards.
Obviously, yeah. Edwards. Yeah, Marky Mark's gone down injured will be a big blow for them. But again, it's a winger, so they'll have them lined up. So Lindsay Collins and potentially Crichton, even the Connor Watsons and the Spencer Lenus of the side, they haven't, been outstanding in Origin football. So I can see this side sticking together largely untouched, and they could cause carnage over the next 2 months of footy, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. Interesting storyline. Spencer Lenu played 14 minutes for one run and 5 metres.
Yeah. Yeah, now, they talk that they're moving him on, mate. They're not happy with him. So there'll be a bit of press to be about that.
Given he was an impact player, used to come on and play short bursts, is this version of the game no good for him?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yep. There's no question about it for me. You can't be that impact player right now is done. Like, you think about not only the way they're playing, but you think about the HIAs, you think about the speed of the game producing more injuries. So you can't afford to have a player out there who's only going to play 10 or 15 minutes. Because if something goes wrong and he needs to play 50 or 60, he's just too much of a liability in the middle. So I will be gobsmacked if they pick him. If Daly picks Spencer Lenu for Origin, then you just load up on the Maroons, because Daly's going to go in with the same mentality he's gone in for the last few years, and it just won't work.
No, absolutely not. All right, this is the biggest joke of a game ever. We see again just what the Knights have going on in attack when they've got everyone back. Wow, it's so good to watch. But then you think, okay, well, they're gonna be dominant here, and the game again changes as momentum shifts, and suddenly the other team looks unstoppable. It's certainly suiting Latrell. His catch and pass for one of the tries was so slick. He's It's his most consistent football for probably, what, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, no question, mate. The change from fullback to centre has taken those kilometres out of his legs that he was doing, The upside's just been huge. This is the best I've seen him play. I know we had a couple of really good seasons with the Roosters, but this is the best of football I've seen him play, mate. He just looks unstoppable right now. Gagai, truth be told, did one hell of a job for an old timer. He did. Probably controlled him probably the best we've seen this season, believe it or not. But
he was hanging on for dear life a couple of times.
Yeah, he's just an out and out footballer, Gagai. One of my favourites. But right now Latrell just looks mean. He looks hungry. Looks keen to be involved. You know when he used to go missing a lot in games. This year he's just constantly there. Yeah, so it's exciting to see him starting to play to all the hype and all the potential that we've always heard about outside of one or two games here or there. He's really stringing it together.
Absolutely. Also exciting, KP back and tearing defences to shreds, which is a little bit scary for New South Wales fan. The other thing is that the Knights went all in on Dylan Brown. This suddenly looks like a masterstroke because the way the game's being played now at that speed, he's in his absolute element. And every time there's a second phase or a six again, and he just accelerates and creates the extra man, and suddenly they're on the attack. And we already know how much attacking flair they've got with the two Fletchers, Bradman Best back, Marju in a bit of space is damaging. There'll be better teams that they tear apart than the Rabbitohs if they keep playing like that.
Yeah, couldn't agree more, mate. Brown, it's turned out to be a masterstroke. It's only nine rounds in, obviously. There's a long way to go in his stint with the Knights, but early doors have been great with these new rule changes. And good news on the back of that is that it hasn't cost them Ponga. So Ponga's just re-signed again through to 2030. So that's a big deal when you consider the other options are on the table at the moment with some of these new teams, and everyone would have wanted to have a piece of Ponga. So for Newcastle to do that, it shows that the new changes they've made with coaching, Holbrook, etc., is heading in the same direction. And look, they look bloody good. It's as simple as that. They're not going to knock down, drag out Penrith in a 12-8 battle. But if it opens up, they're going to match it with most teams in the comp with their attack that they've got, no question.
It reminds me of the 03 Panthers when they were much the same. They defensively weren't enormous for most of the season, but they just scored more points. Interestingly, though, that team suddenly turned on the defence in the last few rounds, and then through that finals campaign, and then in the end in the grand final, only conceded the one try. So yeah, if they keep playing like that, they got a good young mobile forward pack. Some of their old timers are also putting in some pretty impressive shifts. They could do anything. The Bunnies, broken record momentum when it was going against them in the first half. They looked in real trouble, but then suddenly what was bizarre is some of the mistakes they were making. Like, when does Campbell Graham drop a bomb like that, like an absolute dolly? Yeah, maybe the sun was in his eyes and that sort of things, but these guys are professionals. And at one point there, I'm like, oh, this could be 100. Like, they were just so – it was such a mismatch.
But look, South have been on a bit of
share of ball.
Yeah, spot on, mate. 100%. South had been on a bit of a roll for the last few weeks. They'd had, so some of the bigger games that they'd some dump in the Denage. They beat Storm in that really intense one. They very close to the Raiders, knocked over the Bulldogs, the Tigers. Come very close to the Roosters. So they'd been on a bit of a run where it had been week in, week out. So, to try and continue to put it together against a team that is looking pretty sharp with the ball, to your point, mate. So be interesting to see what the Raiders do and what the Knights do now. Obviously, this week won't be too much of a trouble for them against the Dragons, but it'll be interesting to see they continue that attacking way and see if they can get some grind in defence, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you mentioned this game earlier and the Tigers decimated. Do you feel like it changed on the back of those injuries? Like, or because the Sharks were certainly more impressive than they have been recently.
Yeah, look, certainly you think Buller and Appy out, and they lost Dewey very, very early when he scored that that try, which was classic Dewey, the way he's played this season, just took the ball and was just too strong and fast on the outside. So, you know, to lose those three is going to be a big, you know, burden to overcome. And then again, you talk about teams being up for a long time. You know, they've obviously been flying high. So, That would have added to it. And then Cronulla just seemed to be getting rolling a little bit. You know, Eero scored two hat-tricks in a row. Teague Wilton, they were very impressive on that left-hand side of the park. So that'll certainly be something that the Tigers need to look at in defence. They need to fix that real quick. But they were very impressive, Cronulla. That was a traditional Cronulla at Shark Park, running down hill, you know, that flat track bully sort of football. So we know Cronulla can do that. What we want to see Cronulla is then they go and they do that to a top four or five team. So they've got South next week, which will be a really interesting game. South coming off that loss. So we want to see Cronulla to be able to do that against those other teams. And then for the Tigers, I want to see what that team looks like. Obviously, Dewey's shoulder doesn't look tremendous, so that's going to be a fair bit of time.
That's a problem. Yep.
And yeah, I really hope, you know, I'm putting it down to the injuries, but I really hope this Jerome Luluai signing with PNG isn't going to disrupt them all. I thought they handled it exceptionally well with Benji Marshall's press conference and everything was said the right way. I just hope that isn't going to get in their way, because there's still 18 months to go. They're going to throw away a huge opportunity to make the eight if that's got anything to do with it. But, mate, for mine, we chalk it up to some injuries and we see what happens next week, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you nailed that with the Sharks. It was what you'd expect, what we kind of expected. We talked about it, how they finished last year, that we expected them to be having more performances like that. So it'll be interesting to see if they can kick on from there. Alex Twal, 62 tackles in 73 minutes of football. He may just get a Blues jersey if he keeps that performance up. And in a badly beaten team, he still ran for nearly 100 metres. And they didn't rack up many at all. So, mate, what a transformation. If there's been one player that's suited to this new style of footy, it's him.
Yeah, he's been absolute breakout. I haven't got how many offloads he had in this particular game, but he started offloading the ball again, which is obviously Benji giving him that confidence he needs. He's always been fit, but he just looks like he's a little bit quicker in those short spaces with hit ups and tackling. So he just looks really ready to go and prime. So yeah, I'd be disappointed for him and probably New South Wales if he isn't picked. But a lot's going to come down to injuries around this time of year. We've still got a few rounds to go. There's obviously the Hudson Youngs on an edge. Hass is in the middle. There's a number of injuries already to players that you'd think would be locked in. So how they come back from injury, whether they're back in time. But Twal can't be doing much more for mine to put his hand up and get a gig in that first Origin.
Absolutely. Three offloads for those following along at home. Yeah. We asked, were the Seagulls the real deal? And it turns out they are, because it was quite an impressive performance with Jamal Fogarty out and the young fella Joey Walsh playing. You might have a letter of apology to write to the Manly fans after your scathing attack on them in the pre-season, mate.
Mate, and that was more about the coaching setup than Manly. I'm more than happy to see them doing well, mate. Look, they've been really good, and to your point, it certainly hasn't been a tick and flick and a couple of good performances, because to go this close to Penrith, and they had them at the end, it was very close. So for them to do that and keep them to 18, really tight contest, is really impressive for Manly. So they'll be happy. There's no question, obviously, they would have wanted the win. But to see what Foran's done for that team again, Turbo's had an injury. They're starting to nurse a few other players through. And then you talk about Fogarty as well. So for them to do that is really impressive. You know, we spoke a couple of weeks ago about that goldfish mentality of the young halves, and Walsh was similar. You know, there was an error or so in there, but, you know, towards the back end of the game when he had an opportunity to win it, he wanted the ball again. So that's the sort of thing for me that really shows that, you know, there's a future there for him, and he just needs a bit more time in first grade. He's, you know, he could be anything, Joey Walsh.
Oh, absolutely. That's a no-look pass. Not no-look, but, yeah, when he was sending in the, what does Cooper call it, telling a lie with his eyes, super impressive. And Kronk certainly got a bit excited about that one. But he does look like he's got the world at his feet. It would have been pretty cool fairy tale if he'd been able to close the game, but that was just Panthers in there doing their professional best to close out a game. Still going to be many brighter days ahead for those Manly fans, because the Seagulls, just the hunger, they're just relentless. Like, that's what you want from your team. And the, yeah, like he was asked in the press conference, what did you learn about your team? And he said, well, what I know is I've got a really good football team there. And he's right. Like, we did talk about where Manly were at, but we did preface that by saying that if Seabold stays, then that's where we see it heading. But if he goes, well, then, you know, all bets are off. And that is how it has panned out. Power rankings. We have a couple of changes. The Tigers retain their spot, which I'm glad, because they have shown plenty. If they can't recover from the mini injury and suspension crisis they've got, they may well fall out of the five, given the teams that we've got rising up the power rankings. Warriors and Roosters both up a spot. So we've got Panthers, Warriors and Roosters up a spot to 2 and 3, Tigers to 4, and Manly hold their spot at 5. I can't see any changes there, but there's obviously a few teams sort of breathing down their neck with some more consistency. I'm talking the Cows, the Dolphins, the Bronx still won't go away. They're the second most injured team in the comp, and
agree, mate. I think Souths are a little bit unlucky. They obviously lost that game against the Knights. I think if they had have won that, I think they probably would have found their way in. But Gagan's kept it as it was last week with just that Tiger slipping down. So I think a couple of big games this weekend, which we'll talk about in our next show. But that Rabbitohs-Cronulla game will have a huge impact. And so will the Manly-Broncos game. Be interesting to see, though, both those teams that have been on a bit of a roll come off losses and play against each other. So I think those two games will certainly be interesting for Gagan's power rankings, but also the ladder in general, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we are going to do two shows a week going forward, so make sure you check us out. We will record the other one after team lists are out, so on Wednesday afternoon, hoping to have that episode out by Wednesday night. So keep an eye out for that one as well. As always, if you haven't, make sure you're following or subscribed and letting your mates know about an alternative to listen to the same dribble from the mainstream guys, so we can get this in front of more people. Steve, pleasure as always. Hopefully we get something from next week that's a bit more like the rugby league that we know and love, but we will see where it heads.
Yeah, we will, mate. It'll be a big week, so can't wait to have a chat to you in a couple of days' time, mate, once we get the team list out and nail a few of these big games we've got coming up next weekend, mate.
Absolutely. See you Wednesday.
Cheers.
You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.